Also want to bring greetings from the Hidden River Church. Just want to thank you for all the support that you have shown to us over the years. This morning, we're going to be looking at a very familiar story. It's going to not necessarily just look at it too long, but it's definitely a springboard to the subject here this morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. It's definitely a familiar story, story that maybe even the children enjoy. It's a story of David and Goliath. I'm going to read the first 11 verses here. 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered together, and there gathered their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shechem, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shechem and Azekah, and Ephes-Damon, and Saul, and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and the Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had claves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set battle array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words to the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Main focus this morning is on verse 11. We see Israel here listening to what Goliath had to say, and they saw how big and intimidating and how fierce and how well-armed, would you say, he was. And it says that they were greatly dismayed and afraid. But as they listened, as they listened to the threats and calls to come fight, they forgot that God was on their side. They started to tell themselves that they were done, they were finished, they had no future. They were done. They felt that they had no way forward. And they thought, what is the point of even going forward? They filled their heart with the lies about the reality that they were in. But the truth of the matter was that God of the universe was standing right beside them in the battlefield that day. He was standing there ready to help them to go conquer. But they told themselves the lies that the Philistines were more powerful than them. They listened more to the voice of fear than the voice of truth. Fear normally shouts, but fear, the truth often whispers. And they stopped to listen. They stopped listening to the whispers of God's presence with them that day. I want to tell you a little quick story. I'm not sure if any of you here have sheep or not. Years ago, when I was fairly young, we used to raise sheep a lot. They're quite an interesting creature. There are other animals that are similar, but sheep are quite a unique, would you say, have some very unique characteristics. And in the Bible, people are referred to sheep quite a bit. And I think it's more than just a reason that they need a shepherd, that they're referred to people. There's many animals that need someone to lead them, so why a sheep? But we're going to touch on one of those similarities this morning. But both sheep and people can be very dishonest about the reality and tell themselves a lie about their situation. And getting to the story, our neighbor here to our landscape center there currently, I think he still has sheep. But there was a few years ago, there was a sheep that had gotten partly out of the fence and gotten stuck. And knowing the owner was not at home, a couple of us went over to its rescue to figure out what was going on. And upon closer inspection, we discovered while the sheep's legs were entangled in the fence, at one point, its legs actually had slipped out. And no longer was it slipped out of the mess of wire and was no longer actually captured, but was actually laying there free. But while it was free, it was still tangled in its mind. It lay there bleeding, laying on its side in distress, even though it could have got up and walked away. Seeing nothing wrong, we picked it up and put it. We picked it up and put it in on the inside of the fence. It wasn't a real huge sheep, but it was, I would say, half grown. But even though we just picked it up and set it down on the inside of the sheep fence, it still thought there was still something wrong and just still laid there. And knowing what to do, we went there and literally picked it up and made it stand on its own feet, only to discover that it actually could stand. And that it wasn't actually even captured all its time. And it took off running to the rest of the sheep. It was telling itself that there was no hope, even though there was nothing binding it physically, but was bound by its own mindset. That sheep is a picture of many of us today. Held down by something that is no longer has power over us. The fence is gone, but we're still laying there in the grass. John 8:31-32 says, Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed in him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The message title this morning is, "The Truth Will Set You Free." You think of that sheep and you ask yourself, why does God look at me and refer to me as a sheep? I would not be that foolish just to lay there with nothing binding me. If I wasn't physically holding me back, I'd definitely get up. We are faced with hard things. And I tell myself, mine are very real. I'm not imagining any of it. And I'm sure that you had things that are real to you also. Is what you're feeling the same as what is true? And I ask this question, what are the giants in your life? We all are faced with different circumstances. But what do you fear? What's holding you back? Maybe it's what brings you anger. Are there things in your past that are holding us back from flourishing in your Christian life? Are there people that you avoid? Are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling lonely? Or are you struggling to feel true meaning in life? The giant in front of the Israelites that day was a real man. He was not there, just the imaginary man that they only saw in their minds. It wasn't just a myth, that wasn't true, but it was a real live man that was, would you say, scary and threatening. He was loud and throwing insults. And it was very real to the Israelites that day. Maybe your giant has a name. It may be addiction, grief, shame, or failure. Some may say, just get over it. It's in your head. Maybe it's in your head, and maybe it's a legit giant that you're facing. But what are you telling yourself about it? Are you telling the truth? Or are you telling yourself a lie that you're all alone, without hope, and there's no way forward? A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true, even when it's not. Recognizing the problem is different than telling yourself that the giant is in control. And that you can't do anything about it. We serve an almighty God. And your God created you. And all of the universe. And all that is in it. He is all-knowing and all-powerful, and he says, you know, he just says something and it happens. He created you, and he allowed that very giant to come into your life. But yet I allow my mind to tell me that I'm a failure. And I have more problems than anyone else, and I have more pain physically and emotional that no one else can ever understand. And you tell yourself that day, when you tell yourself that day in and day out, you begin to believe it. And you and I can believe that lie so much that we never even notice that the fence wire around our legs have fallen off, and we continue to lay there in our mess. Our God sees every little sparrow that falls. And He made you. He loves you. He allowed that giant to come into your life for your benefit. So we need to accept it, even if it brings us pain and hardship. God allows hard things to come into our lives so that we can become more dependent upon Him. But myself wants to try to do it on my own. Are you controlled by the giant? Or are you allowing the giant to control? Are you allowing the giant to be controlled by God? Today, we sadly try to label everything and put a reason to everything. Maybe it's anxiety, depression. Maybe it's going on a medical struggle, or maybe you're hurt by someone, so you tell yourself that you can never get close to someone else again. You say you have emotional burnt by me once, so I can't get close to you again. And I have to guard yourself. Or maybe you're struggling with self-worth. But what are you telling yourself about it? When we are struggling, we need to take a close look at what we're telling ourselves and put it up against the Word of God. That is the only true thing that we have to base our life on. First lie we could tell ourselves, I am worthless. And in Psalms 139 it says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made with God, by God, for a purpose and a reason. Maybe you're saying, God can never forgive me. The truth is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Forgiveness is bigger than your past. If you're truly sorry and desire change, He will always forgive you. Maybe you struggle to have friends and you tell yourself, I'm all alone. But God says, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is with you even when you do not feel it. Our worth in God does not go up or down by how many friends we have. But if we have a relationship with Him, He is... Yes, it's nice to have friends and have company. But those relationships are just for a moment. But the relationship with God is eternal. Maybe you're telling yourself that you messed up too much. It's not worth it. In Romans it says, where sin aboundeth, grace did much more abound. Grace is bigger than your failures. If it were not for God's grace, none of us would be here, sitting here today. We're faced with a lot of hard things. Every day, whether your tractor broke down or your cows got out, or I'm not sure what, you can put anything in there. Maybe it's the hard relationship that you're trying to mend. And you tell yourself, I can't handle this anymore. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In your weakness, Christ will be there to give you your strength and to pick you up and to help you walk through. And if you're feeling all alone, you can tell yourself, God doesn't care about me. But he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He invites you to give your burdens. He invites to trust your giant into his care. What is the truth in your life? I challenge you, if you're feeling down and out, whether mentally or physically or whatever it may be, to write down a list of what you're telling yourself and compare it with what God has to say in his scriptures. Physical pain is real. Relational hurts are real. But what lies are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself that you are no good and have no future? Satan wants you to believe that how you feel is the final word. But God says, I am the word. And his word is final authority on who you are. And I ask this question, if you're okay with telling yourself that you're no good, would you be okay to walk up to someone else here today after the service and tell them, you know what, you're no good either? And how silly that may sound, you would probably say, of course not, you wouldn't be that rude. God made them and the way they are, and you wouldn't walk over to them and just tell them that they're worthless. But why do we do that to our very self? Looking upon yourself negatively is not a form of humility, but it is sin. Putting yourself down and telling yourself that you're not worth much, you're telling your Almighty God that he has no idea what he was doing when he created you. And by doing that, you're raising yourself above God, so now your negativity talk has become a form of pride. True humility is agreeing with God about who he said you are, not less, not more, just the truth. To recognize the severity of telling yourself the untruth, you need to remember who is the father of lies. Do you want God or Satan in the control of your life? But if you have gotten into the trap of telling yourself the untruth, remember, the truth will set you free. Going back to the passage there in verse 26, it says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach of Israel? Or who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Israel viewed it as a fight against them. But David recognized that it was a fight between the Philistines and God. Israel was telling themselves a lie that life was out of control and that there was no positive way forward. But David recognized that he was only one little piece in God's plan. Verse 45 then it says, Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come with thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth shall know there is a God in Israel." David did not allow the devil to deceive him into fear. He called out to Goliath for what he was. Goliath only had the earthly power, but David had the power of the Almighty Creator at his fingertips that day. Y'all here today also have the power of our Almighty God. And yes, God may not choose to remove the giant that you're facing, but he will certainly help you to face it and to walk through it. We become our biggest enemy. We ourselves become our biggest enemy when facing giants. Just like David, we must recognize that we must tell ourselves over and over who is really on our side. And when facing giants, there is one key thing that I think we need to do is that we must not lean on our own understanding. And when we're leaning only on our own understanding, we are setting ourselves to be deceived of what we believe. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." This is calling us to not lean on just what my understanding is, but to go to the Word of God and to judge our thinking and our beliefs on the Word of God. But I don't think I have to tell you that there's many people that have fallen in the trap of bending the truth as they read the Word of God to fit their own thinking. And I think that is the key part of why it says to not lean on our own understanding. And it's also our own understanding of what the Scripture says. We are fallen creatures, and when we have gotten caught into the fence like that sheep, as it were, it is a time that we struggle the most to see ourselves. And we need to be surrounded by accountable Christian brothers and sisters that will be honest with us and bend down and pick us up and set us on our feet when we get called up in our own understanding. You may think, oh, I'm good. I can make it on my own. Oh, I have lots of knowledge and experience. And maybe you've gone so far to think that you are better than those around you. And if you have, that is a human tendency. You can't blame yourself for that. But what are you going to do with that? If you're going to wait to be open to those around you and say that I'll ask for help once I need it, you are playing with fire. When you are in the heat of the battle, it is more easy to think that you are okay than to recognize that you need the very help of your brother. When we lean on our own understanding of our situation, it's an inward perspective and not usually based on truth. One may say it's truth, but what are you basing it on? Are you basing it on the Word of God and the faithful brothers and sisters around you? Or are you basing it on Google or your latest search of online trying to figure out your struggle? I'll tell you, if you look online, you'll find an answer for everything that we're facing. You know, one must not only recognize the truth, but must act on the truth that God set before you. And my mind was drawn to a verse in Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God is calling us to run this race of life. And it's not an easy race. But He's calling us to run the race that is set before us. He isn't calling us to figure it all out. He isn't calling us to run the race, run tomorrow's life today. But neither is He telling us to run this afternoon's race this morning. But He is calling us to run what is set in front of us. And if you're trying to run tomorrow's race today, you will not make it because it will only look overwhelming. But we must take one day at a time. We must take 1 hour at a time. Because we are not prepared. We will only be prepared for tomorrow. Tomorrow. At times, life can feel tough. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's work stress. Maybe it's battling the busyness of raising a family. But like I said, God doesn't call you to have it all figured out ahead of time. But He calls you to commit it to Him. But then you must run. Committing it to God doesn't mean that you don't have to get out of bed. It doesn't mean that you don't have to go to work or that the coffee in the morning will just magically appear for you. But life takes action. A life of Christ takes purpose. We need to surrender our cares to Him, but then we need to put one foot in front of another. We need to bury the lie of the devil that we are not good enough and that we can't do it, and take action. And when we take action based on the true word of God, the chains will begin to fall and we'll be set free from that which is trying to take us down. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." What are you filling your mind with? Are you filling it with how much of a failure you are? And sometimes my mind was drawn to, you know, some how we can just jokingly put ourselves down. And you might mean it as a joke at first, is saying how dumb you are, or I always mess something up, or I can't do everything right. But that can be a very trap that you can fall into, and when you keep saying that same thing over and over, your mind starts to believe the very thing that you're trying to say, even though it may have just started out with a joke with your friends. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When we start telling ourselves the truth that God is in control and that God has us in this situation for a reason, and that the real fear and negativity is not of God, the truth starts to loosen the ties that have gripped us so tightly.